Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of TaxPlanIQ Software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. Let's go, y'all. Hey there, I'm Dr. Jackie Meyer, CPA, and welcome to the Concierge CPA podcast. Before we dive in, here's something exciting. TaxPlanIQ users are saving their clients an average of $40,000 in taxes per taxpayer while selling large tax plans. TaxPlanIQ is the ultimate resource for tax advisors. With nearly 500 firms on board, we're helping advisors build skills, grow confidence, and connect with a vibrant community. Want to learn more? Visit taxplaniq.com/podcast for exclusive discounts, resources, and other things mentioned in this episode. Now let's jump in. Hi, welcome back, everyone. I have a special guest today, Alexander Dio, who's the managing director and founder of Wealth Excel. And we're talking about there's so many strategies that have been out there for a long time, which we'll discuss today. But because they're more advanced or a little bit more complicated than just contributing to like a Roth IRA, people don't know about them. And so, I take on that personal mission of getting the word out about these fully legal, very black and white strategies, and especially ones that revolve around charity. And so today we'll be talking about one called the Charitable Gift Financing Strategy. So welcome, Alexander.
Thank you, Jackie, for having me. I'm certainly excited to be on your show.
Yes, for sure. So in this episode, you're probably going to be listening or watching and say, wait, how long has this strategy been around? And so has it been decades now?
My goodness. So to be exact, since 1978.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So this is kind of quietly helping high income earners legally reduce taxes and expand their charitable impact. Now, Wealth Excel in particular has engineered over 500 wealth creation blueprints and helped clients save over $60 million in taxes. I love it. So we're going to pull back the curtain on how the strategy works, how it holds up under IRS scrutiny, and how accountants can use it with confidence. So how did you first stumble into this world of advanced charitable planning, Alexander?
Yeah, thanks, Jackie, for asking this question. So my journey of advanced tax planning started, my goodness, about 20 years or so ago, as I have entered into the world of financial services and dived into the specifically charitable planning maybe about 10, 12 years ago. And the reason behind it is very interestingly, I am always prone to look for interesting yet time-proven strategies. And one of them happened to be this very much long been around time tested strategy. And it kind of captivated me because of the factual patterns. And I was like, let me actually look into it further. And that's how my journey of charitable giving in general started, more specifically in the financing aspect of it.
Awesome. Okay. And how long has Wealth Excel been around?
Wealth Excel, as it in its current form, been around for 5 years. And prior to that, I was in different forms of partnerships. And in 2020, right around pandemic, it happened to be that Wealth Excel was the rebranded version of another firm that I was a part of. So, and ever since awesome. I'm operated under the Wealth Excel.
Okay. So you had a COVID baby like me. We started TaxPlanIQ during COVID too.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So who tends to benefit most from what you do? Entrepreneurs, families with big liquidity events, or just a high net wealth person that has X to invest, so to speak?
Well, specifically for this strategy, I think the cornerstone of who is the ideal client for this would be someone who is looking for tax-efficient philanthropy and legacy planning. That is the first step that we identify whether the client is charitably inclined. And secondly, whether they're looking for ways to do it in a tax-efficient manner. So once we establish those parameters, of course, the next we see, hey, are you also concerned about potentially liquidity? If yes, great. Are you a high earner? And if yes, what is your AGI? So typically about $1 million plus of AGI, that's the typical qualifier for this type of strategy with, I would say, $2 million plus of net worth. And of course, they're always looking for tax optimization, you know, so it's all about less money in, the more ROI you receive, then that probably would define the classical sample of our client base.
Okay, cool. And this strategy is actually one in TaxOne IQ, and we are preferred vendors together, bringing it to accountants and advisors and the public. I didn't do the power hour with your team with TaxOne IQ, but I believe I saw the minimum investment is typically like $100,000. Is that right?
Yes. So that would probably be the minimum, but okay. I would say it a little bit differently. So the break even, so to speak, or what would make sense for the client is someone who is making $750,000 in AGI between all of the costs and fees and things of that nature. We probably would not introduce this strategy to folks that are in a lower tier. So this is certainly designed for those that are philanthropically inclined, want to create the legacy, yet, you know, they make a significant amount of monies on an annual basis.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. I mean, your focus here isn't just tax efficiency. It's really purposeful wealth. And that's what I love, because real legacy starts with intention. And so let's dive right into it. Let's go head on. So for listeners hearing the term charitable gift financing for the first time, what the heck is that? How does it work?
Yeah, this is a typical question a lot of people ask me. What is it? What do you even talk about? And I always bring this very classical example. In this world of financing, whether it's a home financing, car financing, travel financing, equipment financing, everything is financeable. Mm-hmm. Why not charitable giving? And that why not has been around since 1978. And it's highly been utilized by folks in, I would only imagine, in the higher income brackets. And what I have seen in at least past 15 years, more and more clients started to capitalize on this. And in simple terms, to define what the charitable financing is, it's essentially a contribution of monies to charitable organizations using both the personal funds, almost like think of a down payment, and the rest would be financed. And the deduction that you're taking is to the full amount, not only for the amount that of down payment, but down payment plus financing. And that's the power of this strategy, where it provides a liquidity. It doesn't require a client to put away significant amounts of monies yet to receive a significant tax write-off.
Okay, gotcha. And so is there kind of a standard of like, 4-to-1 type return, or what do people, obviously it's an estimate, but what can people expect out of that?
Sure. The way we calculate it, it's rather simple. So everything between what the client would have to put away from out of pocket as a down payment, plus any costs and fees associated, they are gaining roughly about 5.5x of a deduction. That's number one. And when it comes to pure tax savings, we estimated it roughly about 2.7x. So that's essentially what they're getting as a result of the strategy, purely from economic standpoint.
Okay, cool. So you're essentially pooling together and leveraging people's money for good in a way. Is that how you could describe it?
Yes. Let me just give you maybe a very quick example. So if we have a client who is making $1 million, and they typically would be, well, at least in California, between federal and state, roughly speaking, about maybe 37% effective tax rate. So they would be on a hook to pay about $370,000. And if they are charitably inclined, the normal process, like, okay, if I write a check for a certain amount of money, how much I can deduct it up to as far as my AGI, and that would be cash donation up to 60%, right? If you file as an itemized filer. So they can cut the check for $600,000 to a charity, and that would be a deduction. So mm-hmm. The question is, why would anybody do that? Well, A, because if you are truly charitably inclined individual, you want to be philanthropical, and at that level, just cut the check for $600,000, kudos to you. However, many clients that say, well, while I really like to do that and create the impact, I'm not really ready to cut the check for $600,000. Is there a program that I can maybe write a check for, let's say, 10% of that gift amount, which would be in our case, $60,000. And the rest, $540,000, you finance. So you go to these specialty financing organizations and you seek borrowing certain amounts of money subject to giving. And that essentially the mix of, you put 10%, $60,000, great. You get financing of $540,000 and you get a deduction of the entire $600,000.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice, you know, clear benefit of the tax code is the fact that you can essentially accelerate the deduction to an entire loan amount versus the actual cash out for the deposit, right?
Yes, correct. And that is specifically a revenue ruling 7838, which specifically talks about that anyone who is borrowing certain amount of monies and making a donation of that amount in the same year that the gift was made or the monies were borrowed, they don't have to wait until the debt is repaid, but rather take a deduction in that same year, as long as the cash has been transferred to a charity. So that's the law. It's not an interpretation of the law. It's not a concept. It's not even just as if it's a strategy. Absolutely not. So it's written in the law, revenue ruling 7838.
Okay, awesome. I love it. And what do you say when people ask, kind of like, has this been tested under audit? I assume it has, since it's been around since 78.
Well, interestingly, there were only quite a few number of cases in the court. To our knowledge, the very latest case was in 2015. And I think the case called Zavadil versus Services. And in that case, where the business owner entered into this arrangement of a financing, and IRS challenged the validity of this transaction. And as a result of that business owner proving the fact of the matter that these monies actually went to the charity, IRS accepted this as a valid transaction. Other than this specific case in the court, we haven't found any disqualification of this strategy, any cases that worked against the defendant, absolutely not. So, and since 1978, that's been the case so far.
Awesome. That's amazing. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the logistics. I'm trying to piece through like exactly how the transaction structure works. So you put this deposit, are you setting up a trust or a charitable trust, or what are you, where are you putting that deposit, and then how are you funding the loan?
Hey, it's Dr. Jackie. Are you enjoying today's episode? If you are, here's how you can support the podcast. Like, share, and subscribe to the Concierge CPA podcast to help us reach even more listeners. Continue the discussion and connect with other accounting professionals in the Accounting Firm Influencers Facebook group or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, Jackie, let me just walk you through the flow of how this strategy works. The client essentially will be borrowing certain amount of monies, but not directly. And that's the cool thing about, because we're going to use a proxy. In another way of putting it, it's going to be through a grantor's trust. So the uniqueness of the grantor's trust, it's a pass-through. It doesn't require a client to have a separate EIN. It doesn't require clients to fill out and or file a separate tax returns. And as a matter of fact, all of the earnings in the trust or through the trust, as well as the deductions, are all passed through to the grantors. So that provides the client certain number of protections, as well as the privacy when it comes to large sums of giving that is going to be performing under the trust formation. So why is it done? Because we want to have the client certain amount of asset protection, and B, privacy protection. So they set up this grantor's trust, and then the grantor's trust would be the borrowing entity. The lenders would recognize that they are entering into the agreement with the grantor's trust, where the grantors themselves would be acting in the capacity of a trustee and immediate beneficiaries. So the funds would be borrowed by the grantor's trust, and the lender essentially would recognize the trustee as the authorizing signer. Once the grantor's trust is established, effectively the lender would facilitate this lending, and monies flow-wise, client would know which approved or pre-approved charities that the lenders have in connection with this transaction, and their share of or portion or contribution of 10% or the down payment, however you call it, would be needing to go directly to the charity. And the client would be instructing the lender to also send the lion's share of a 90% to the charity directly. So it's bypassing any casualties of funds to be transferred to the client, and then the client transferring to the charity. So all of the possibilities of what ifs are essentially removed, meaning that all of the monies are going to be transferred exactly to the charities, and there is no question. It's almost the same way if the client using a credit card and sending certain amount of monies, what happens in that transaction, client borrows from the credit card, but the credit card transfers this money on behalf of the client, but the recognition of the gift is still vests with the client. That's exactly what's happening here, because the credit card acted as an agent, and the lenders we work with, they're also acting as an agent transferring this money on behalf of and for the credit of the grantor's trust and the grantors themselves. So once the monies are deposited to the charity, obviously the charity recognizes the receipts of all of the cash and issuing a receipt to the client to the extent of how much money being received in the same year that the deduction needs to be recognized for. Eventually, oftentimes people ask, okay, well, this is great. I understand that I am financing, and is typical financing requiring me to repay the loan. How does that work? Mm. Well, the interesting component of loan repayment, the client, while don't have to pay ongoingly any interest and or principal of this loan, because the loan will be taking care of the collateral. The collateral that is used in this case is a permanent life insurance. And the permanent life insurance is used to repay the loan sometime in the future. And that future is when the client passing away. So it's a very well-structured approach where the clients have a minimum cash outflow today and during their lifetime, while the death benefit is used to repay the loan sometime in the future. That is kind of a high level of how this structure works. Of course, I can go into the depth of certain assurities, as well as certain type of documents that the clients will be receiving as a process in the process of establishing this entire transaction, one of which would be an independent tax opinion letter. So each client receives this unique highest confidence tax opinion letter confirming the validity of a strategy, essentially also which includes analysis under the economic substance doctrine, substantiating this transaction as valid, meaning that it's not only for the purposes of tax write-off, but mainly for enhancing or amplifying the giving. And unless there is a financing involved, the amount of gift that is made is going to be significantly less. So there is a philanthropy involved, there is a liquidity preservation involved, there is a full collateral in place involved. So from the standpoint of validity, all of the points are checkmarked, so which confirms that this is not only a legitimate transaction, but also provides this very unique way of giving today and also giving upon the death.
Nice. Okay. And so you work collaboratively with the advisor to supply this, right? So the accountant or advisor does not need to know every single in and out. You're essentially partnering with them. What does that look like?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jackie. What we are known for, working in conjunction with whether CPAs and or advisors, providing them with this tool as a turnkey package, meaning as long as the CPAs and or clients, advisors have qualifying client, all they need to do is introduce us to the client, and we will conduct not only the full fact-finding on determining whether it's a suitable transaction for the client or not. We also would obtain a pre-qualification when it comes to determining what kind of charitable inclinations a client have and whether we have matching lenders to that effect. We also would perform the complete design of the proposal, introduce the strategy to the client from A to Z, walking them through on what to anticipate, how to work with us in conjunction with CPAs and their advisors, and conduct a complete package when it comes to execution of the strategy. So CPAs don't really need to do much other than being in the position of a quarterback. Uh-huh. And introducing us to the client, and everything else will be handled by us, whether it's putting together a proposal, introducing the strategy, underwriting the case, and all the way to obtaining the proofs of contribution. So all of that will be performed by us.
Okay, great. And what does the timeline look like? Is this something that you can do within days, or is it like, okay, we've got a 12/31 typical deadline for the tax year? What's, you know, optimal timing to start this strategy?
Well, thank you. It's actually now, because I wish it's a daily process. No, because it does take time. Typical process from start to finish, ranging anywhere between 45 to 60 days. Because imagine, we have to go through the loan underwriting, which is no different than a typical mortgage underwriting, because the lenders would have to validate not only a charitable inclination, which has to be done before we get into the financial underwriting, let alone the financial underwriting itself would have to be performed and done, and typically takes roughly 25 to 30 days. And simultaneously, if clients don't have existing permanent life insurance that can be pledged as a collateral, we would have to underwrite a brand new life insurance policy, in which case it does take time as well. So all that being said, we need to budget anywhere between 45 to 60 days from start to finish.
Perfect. Yeah. So November is definitely kind of a good cutoff time, if not before that or earlier in the year. That totally makes sense. Thanks for explaining that. All right. So we're coming up to the end of our time. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure and discuss around this particular strategy or your firm before we close out with a little bit of rapid fire Q&A?
Yes, I think what I would wanted to point out that there are two distinct stages of charitable giving, because a lot of times that could be easily, not necessarily neglected, but really not gone into the details of the nuts and cruts of this. So there is a stage one, or we call it year one giving, and that is happening in the initial year, where both the client's 10% direct contribution and 90% finance gifting amount are directed to lender pre-approved IRS qualified charities. And that ensuring compliance, obviously producing an immediate tax deduction for the client in the same year the donation was made. But then uniquely positioned, there is stage two, or we call it a legacy giving at death. Because upon the client's death and after the loan is repaid through the assigned life insurance death benefit, up to 50% of the original loan amount may be directed to any charities of client's choosing, including donor advised fund.
Nice.
This is another way of really creating this perpetual giving and educating next generation of how to be philanthropical and creating this lasting legacy beyond generation one. This also allows clients a lot of times align their long-term philanthropical vision with their estate and legacy planning. So that's kind of, I would wanted to make sure that the clients understand, because tax benefit comes with this generous giving regardless. Uh-huh. But I wanted to emphasize that the importance of this tax-efficient philanthropy and legacy planning, because that's the key, that's the cornerstone of the why I love the strategy so much, because It's not just about tax savings. It's about giving and giving more and giving not only today, but for hopefully generations to come.
For sure. Oh, so well said. I mean, when clients connect money to meaning, they stop reacting just to taxes and they start planning to real values. And that's, I think, the ultimate freedom in life is becoming that return on you by giving back to the world. So I talk about that a lot at Tax Fund IQ, and it's very important to me. I would encourage advisors as well that are listening, just add to your organizer each year. If you're not doing a ton of proactive planning yet, just add the question, like, would you like to be charitable? And if so, like, what would be your goal there, right? And then you can help quarterback that situation to start them off small with just getting their non-cash donations maximized and things like that. And then eventually go to a more advanced strategy like this too, that is really win-win for everyone. So awesome. Well, on that note, I've got just a few quick questions for you as we wrap up. So I'm curious, Alexander, what is a myth about charitable giving that you hear and you're like, oh my goodness, it's driving me nuts? Don't say that. It's not true.
Oh, yes. Oftenly, I get asked why I never heard of this strategy before. I have friends who are so advanced and they have this planning, that planning, whatever planning. How come my CPA never even mentioned about of such strategy before? Wow, it's too good to be true. And if it's been around since 1978, I can't believe that nobody talks about it. By the way, there is not much information about this strategy on internet to begin with. Mm-hmm. And all of these matters are obviously important to the clients. And I kid you not, these are randomly yet oftenly asked questions. And of course, they ask me, how long you been doing this? Have you had any audits before? And so on and so forth. I mean, the reality is, and I think that's what you do really well with this podcast, and the intention even of this interview is education. Uh-huh. So I'm here to educate these clients through your gracious offering to really say that it's not too good to be true. It's validated type of strategy. And it's been around for quite some time. All what is required is proper steps that need to be taken and confirmable. So then clients are in good shape. But oftenly that is a myth of like, oh, wow, this is really something I never heard of before. Yeah. And I don't want to do it as a result.
For sure. Yeah. There's a lot of different terminology that people throw out there with these new strategy ideas and whatnot. And I mean, this one really is tried and true. I do want to emphasize, even I, as a tax expert of, gosh, how long now, you know, decades, I hear about things that I didn't know about that have been around for 30, 40 years every day as well. And so it's all about doing appropriate due diligence. We live in such an odd time where, you know, the tax code is constantly changing and evolving, and there's so much noise online. And so we've learned a lot of hardcore lessons at Taxman IQ ourselves in regards to what strategies we bring to the table for our advisors and making sure that we do appropriate due diligence. And I have to commend y'all. You did a really excellent job through the due diligence process, even though we might have put you through the ringer a little bit. But I want to assure people that, you know, we definitely really care about these strategies being ethical and legal. So, yeah, we're really thankful for your partnership there.
I appreciate your partnership as well, Jackie.
Awesome. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to close out for today. Thanks again, Alexander, for your time. How can people reach out to you if they want to learn more or explore this strategy together?
Yes. So there are many ways to get in touch with us. And the first thing is, if you are a person just like myself, to pick up the phone and call. Our phone number is 213-302-8000. Or if you just simply want to send us an email, that would be info@wealth-excel.com. Or you can simply go on our website and there is a form for you to fill out, and we'll surely be in touch with you. And the website's name is wealth-excel.com.
Lovely. All right. Well, thanks again, Alexander. Everyone, I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. Please reach out to me anytime with questions, concerns, feedback, how we can make and improve this podcast recording, and you'll have a great one. Take care.
I appreciate you listening all the way to the end. It truly means a lot. As a thank you, I'd love to give you a free gift, my value pricing calculator and proposal workbook. This tool has helped tax advisors create eight-figure tax plans and save over $1 billion for their clients. You can now download it at taxplaniq.com/ROI-method. Thank you for being part of this journey, and I'll see you next time on the Concierge CPA podcast. Take care, y'all. Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by TaxPlan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.